Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of Scouting 5, recapping scouting news from around the world for the week of August 2nd, 2021. I'm Scouter Ken, and I am once again recording from St. Albert, Alberta. And this might be the first episode of Scouting 5 that I've recorded since I've been home from New Brunswick. I'm actually not sure. I hope not, because it's been a month now. But the time, it flies. Hector Carrer of Buenos Aires, Argentina, has been awarded the Bronze Wolf, the highest honor that the World Organization of the Scouting Movement can bestow on a volunteer. And Hector has been awarded it for his extraordinary service and dedication to the scouting movement nationally within Argentina and also internationally. At the national level, Hector joined the scouting program in Argentina in 1987. He went on to serve as their national program commissioner from 1989 to 1993, where he collaborated in the production of an educational project for the new association, eventually working to help form Scouts de Argentina Asociación Civil, marking a historic milestone there for the Argentine scout movement. He was also a member of WASM's Subcommittee for Educational Methods between 1999 and 2002, and more recently has contributed to various projects at the world level by producing materials and methods that have been used in the development of the new Guide to Youth program in Scouting, which is being delivered as part of the World Scout Academy. So, congratulations, Hector, for 40 years of amazing service and contribution to scouting. That sounds like a Bronze Wolf Award, well deserved. I never got to go to a rover moot during my tenure as a rover scout, so permit me a little vicarious excitement on behalf of rover scouts in Africa. The first ever Africa rover moot is going to be held from the 15th to the 25th of April in 2023. At the Rwalan National Scout Camp in Nairobi, Kenya. This event is being organized by the Africa Scout Region of the World Organization of the Scout Movement. It's going to be hosted by the Kenya Scouts Association and then will subsequently be organized and hosted in different countries throughout Africa every 4 years. For those of you who don't know what a rover moot is, it's basically a jamboree scaled up for the rover scout level, or scaled down depending on how you want to look at it. It's a gathering of members of national scout associations and organizations belonging to the Rover Scout section, which in most cases is the end of the scouting youth program in whichever countries actually have it. Rover scouting you won't find in every country around the world, but in places like Canada, where it is present, it's usually reserved for, you know, the oldest members of the youth program in scouting. In Canada's case, I think it's 18 to 25 or 18 to 26 year olds. Kind of stretching the definitions of youth there, but there you go. The Kenya Scout Association evidently won the bid to host the event following a resolution passed by the 17th African Scout Conference, which was held in Zimbabwe in 2018, that called for the promotion, growth, development, and visibility of rover scouting in Africa. And personally, a moot is a great way to do just that. So, earlier in July, the Boy Scouts of America Ozark Trails Council declined an offer, and this offer evidently came in unsolicited. It's not that they were looking to sell the property, but someone apparently made a bid on it. They declined the offer on the Frank Childress Scout Reservation, which is located near Diamond, Montana. Now, the Ozark Trails Council has been exploring how to fund their contribution to the trust fund, the Survivors Compensation Trust Fund, that has, of course, been the subject of much discussion in the ongoing bankruptcy and abuse court cases that Boy Scouts of America has been navigating these last couple of years. Local councils look like they're going to increasingly be on the hook for some portion of that fund and for compensation of abuse victims who have come forward. But it would appear that Ozark Trails is not currently looking to sell off properties, or at least not the Frank Childress Reservation, which recently celebrated its 60th anniversary, in order to actually fund that trust. That said, The council is trying to figure out ways to continue to fund the operation of the camp. Currently, they are accepting donation pledges to save the camp. Their intent is actually to put it into a trust of its own to prevent it from being sold in the future. And there will be a link to this story in the show notes. If you're interested in donating to that fund that they are putting together, there will be a link in the article pertaining to the camp. When we talk about being prepared in scouting, we don't usually mean rescuing your family after a tornado. But you know what? Baden-Powell did say that being prepared just means being prepared for, any old thing. And so for one young man in the United States, Life Scout Nathan Casey, that included rescuing his family, like I said, after a tornado. This happened in late June. He was in the downstairs bedroom at his home when he heard a loud crash upstairs, and he ran upstairs to find that an entire wall of his home had fallen to the floor. According to Mr. Casey, quote, "It looked like the sky just came into our house. Insulation was floating around and still falling by the time I got out of my room," end quote. The home had been hit by an EF3 tornado. And this wasn't, you know, in some isolated rural community. The Casey family lives just in the suburbs of Chicago. Mr. Casey's troop is headquartered out of Woodbridge, Illinois, which is in the Pathway to Adventure Scouting Council of Scouts BSA. But thanks to his considerable experience in scouting, he is a Life Scout after all, he was able to remain calm and collected during this unfortunate and surprising time, with one of his brothers also sharing the basement with him. Evidently, that's where sleeping arrangements were. Casey was able to rescue another of his brothers from the main floor. The other brother's door was evidently stuck in a closed position, so Nathan was able to force it open. He was able to bring his brother downstairs, and they all joined his sister and mother in the downstairs bathroom to wait out the rest of the storm. Nathan also grabbed blankets, sleeping pads, and the emergency bag that he had prepared whilst earning his, what else, emergency preparedness badge. The bag contained a first aid kit, flashlights, warm hoodies, cell phone battery packs. Nathan does credit his participation in scouting with, you know, leaving him ready to respond to the disaster. Not just in the case of, you know, having had the gear that he needed for the next few hours packed and ready to go in a go bag, but just also with, you know, again, remaining collected and keeping his composure and being able to quickly identify and act to rescue members of his family and bring them to safety. So well done, Nathan Casey. And just to loop back on something from a couple stories ago, not a couple episodes ago, just, you know, a couple stories earlier in the episode, the Boy Scouts of America has evidently reached a preliminary $850 million settlement with around 60,000 people over abuse claims stretching back decades. This may be the largest sexual abuse settlement ever reached in U.S. history. In a statement they released, the organization said that this latest agreement was part of, quote, ongoing efforts to reach a global resolution that will equitably compensate survivors and ensure scouting's future, end quote. Now, the settlement does need to still be approved by a judge and then voted on by the entire group of survivors. It also faces opposition from insurers who are, of course, going to probably have to pay out many millions of those dollars. Another agreement expected to be filed on Friday would see local BSA councils contribute upwards of $600 million toward the settlement fund, which is why, for example, they're fighting to keep that camp in operation rather than having to sell it off. And according to at least one of the three lead negotiators for the group of victims, they are pleased, at least at this stage, that BSA and its local councils have, quote, stepped up to be the first to compensate the survivors, end quote. That said, that opinion is not shared universally. Another of the group's lawyers characterized it as a, quote, rotten chump deal, adding, quote, "I don't know how you can characterize this as anything but a failure," end quote. So we'll see what the judge rules in that. It would be nice if we could put news of this to rest. It would be nice if this ongoing trouble could finally come to an end, both for BSA and for, you know, the victims of abuse those who suffered at the hands of predatory scouters over many, many decades. And that is all the news I have for you this week. Thank you again for listening. Sorry if it's been a couple of weeks since I've put one of these out. And until next time, be prepared.